Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Hello, and thanks for joining me today. I'm your host, Carol Reitberger, and the topic of today's show is healing asthma. And it's actually a suggestion of a listener, Rita DiCarlo from Menifee, California. She wrote me that a family member developed asthma at the age of 28. First of all, she is surprised that she developed it at such an older age. We usually associate it with children. And that she wanted to know if there are any triggers that could cause asthma other than the environmental triggers that was offered by the doctors, meaning mold or trees or tree pollen or so forth. So what I began doing was doing some research on it and finding out that asthma truly is an emotional illness, meaning that it is the result of emotions. And I'm going to be sharing what the primary emotion is that seems to trigger this asthma response in the physical body. And then going back and looking at a lot of my research that I've done as a medical intuitive, I started finding that there was a connection between what we were feeling and people that had a predisposition for asthma. And I also found out that there was a lot of connection as far as the personality colors themselves and how they actually responded and reacted to these emotional triggers. So I'm going to be sharing all of that today, and I want to thank Ravita for this suggestion. I hope that she gets a lot of information out of it. I hope that all of you get information out of it. And then also, if for any reason you want to share this show with a friend, in a couple of days, you can go to my website, www.ritberger.com. And then what we'll do is you'll be able to go back and listen to this show, share it with a friend. You can download it to your computer, your iPod. So it'll be there for you to be able to really come in and to slowly listen to the things that I'm saying. One of the things that many doctors will say is that once you develop asthma, it's going to be a lifelong thing. However, asthma is really two different aspects of it. It's, first of all, inflammation. That's the most important. And then also it's the constriction of the bronchial tubes itself. When we look at it from a psychological perspective, then that can change the whole dynamics around it. And what it can do is it can put you, if you suffer from asthma or somebody that does, can put you in a position where you don't have to accept that it's a lifelong situation. So again, I want to thank Ravita for sending me this suggestion. And then also, if any of you as listeners have a suggestion for me, you can go to my website, www.ritberger.com, R-I-T-B-E-R-G-E-R.com. Go to the contact page, and we also have a little button, submit a suggestion, and then I will try to squeeze it on air. I'm also going to be sharing my medical intuitive skills with you. So if you have a question for me about your health, it can be on the topic of asthma or any question that you have on your health. You can call me at 877-230-3062 or 425-644. Let's do that again. 425-644-5620. When we think of asthma, as I said, most of us really think of it as being a childhood ailment that we get at a very young age. However, in the research that's being done around what creates illnesses and specific chronic illnesses, what we've learned is in the last 15 years that there's actually been a 75% increase in the number of diagnoses in asthma in people that are from age 25 to 40. And we've also found in that research that there's a higher percentage of women that are susceptible to asthma than men. As I mentioned, asthma is an inflammation, as well as the constricting and the narrowing of the bronchial tubes due to spasms or even due to allergens. When the bronchial tubes become constricted or the inflammation occurs, it's usually caused by smoke or chemical toxins. Animal dander is one, molds, even food additives. We're finding that it isn't so much the food allergy itself as it is the allergic reaction to food additives. And what we do when we look at the food aspect of it, sugar can be a trigger of the inflammation process that could be ultimately turn into an asthmatic attack, wheat, corn, and other dairy products. There's some interesting research that I found is that when it comes into the adults, 25 to 40 age bracket that we're looking at now as far as being susceptible to asthma, what we find is that I found that the common denominator in asthma is stress. It's adrenal exhaustion. I've also found that hypoglycemia and anything that has to do with low thyroid, hypothyroidism, can also be a trigger with it. The symptoms of asthma when it's developed in the beginning stages are basically shortness of breath. Sometimes people will have a sense of choking or wheezing, coughing, and even heart palpitations. Then once it settles into a full-blown asthma attack, what occurs is then the tubes themselves contract to the point where they actually close down. Now what we have is we have literally an effect that a person isn't able to get the air not only into the lungs but out of the lungs, and that's the frightening part that comes along with asthma. Asthma is basically an allergy. That's the best way to think about it. And the process of the allergy itself is very straightforward. The white blood cells, part of the body's natural defense system, makes a mistake where it misreads a harmless substance, such as a food, and when it does, it creates an inflammation response, and it, instead of trying to get rid of the enemy agent, as I call it, what it does is it creates, in this misreading it, it creates an actual substance that turns out to be a food for that enemy agent. And then when it realizes, the immune system realizes, oops, I've sent the wrong message, done the wrong thing, then what it does is it increases the flow of antibodies, which then increases the inflammation aspect, and then those antibodies latch onto the cells in the nose, the throat, the stomach, the skin, and the lungs, in order to be able to combat this enemy agent, which in fact it started out kind of creating and feeding itself. And that's one of the reasons that we're finding that sugar is a natural irritant that can trigger off this type of reaction. Once that immune system creates the antibodies and increases the inflammation, it causes the bronchial tubes to now become inflamed. And as a result, they're really trying to do the job of being able to ready themselves for battle. But the reality is that they are actually worsening the problem. When this occurs, then this chemical substance, another chemical substance, is transmitted to the nerve fibers. And those nerve fibers, again, misreading everything, really sends out the message, we have a major problem, so let's really contract the air passage itself in order to minimize the impact of this food substance for the allergens or the allergy type response, and then also trying to constrict it so the bronchial tube, so then we don't have that allergen or that allergy impact happening in the lungs itself. So what do we get out of all that? We actually get a full-blown asthma attack, and that's where, number one, we've got the inflammation. Number two, we have the air passages of the bronchial tubes contracting to the point where literally air cannot get in and nor can air get out. Psychologically, asthma really looks, when I looked at it, using kind of this same metaphor of the allergic reaction to an enemy agent, instead of it being something that the immune system creates in order to try to help the process of defending the body, in fact, it doesn't. I also went in and psychologically I found as a medical intuitive that the same thing happens when I look at the emotion of worry. However, in this particular case, we don't think of worry as being a good thing. However, it's kind of like a relief valve. When we worry a little, it helps us from not building up that worry syndrome or that steam inside of us to where we're going to blow our top, but where we just literally can start to release the process. It's kind of like that allergy effect in the lungs itself. Worry has its value when it first starts because it lets you know that something needs to be considered, that something is not in alignment, something is causing an imbalance in the body. But what happens is that worry becomes out of control. So what is worry? It's actually an emotion. I always define an emotion as an instant chemical reaction in the physical body. That's the best way we know that it's an emotion. The chemical reaction is triggered by negativity and the way the mind perceives it. So the emotion creates off this, sends up, the negative emotion sends off this chain reaction that basically causes all of these things to start to react, respond, thinking in some cases it's doing the right thing, but in reality it isn't. So worry is really about creating a negative image of a future event, and it prevents us from really being present in the moment. When we worry, we're not only anticipating what's about to happen in the present time, but also in the future. At the same time, we're actually revisiting our past, and we're pulling up a lot of the failures and a lot of the inadequacies, a lot of the bad times, and a lot of the negative events that continue to feed that worrying process, kind of like that inflammation. While it's doing the right thing in some ways, is creating an inflammatory response in the bronchial tube, and it's cutting off our life force. In the case of worry, what it's doing is it's causing mental confusion, and we're not able to think as clearly as we need to. And that really equates in the body in the form of fight or flight. And worry is kind of what I always refer to as, it's kind of like a dog chasing its tail. It keeps us going around in circles. We're ruminating the past. We're looking at the present. We're worrying about the future. And it's hard for us to get any kind of clarity. And the best way for us to stop worrying, frankly, is to take a deep breath and then become present in the moment. The emotions, other emotions that worry feeds is guilt. And we can feel even guilty from worrying so much. Resentment, because there's no one else worrying about the things the way we're worrying about them. Anger, that's both self-directed, because we can't stop the worrying process. We really think we should be able to. But once again, like the asthma response, that worrying gets a hold of us, and it just runs its own course. And then we get angry with others because they're not supporting us to help us stop us from worrying. So that's where you can see where I come up with that dog chasing its tail metaphor. And then the final emotion that worry actually triggers is disappointment. Again, in this particular case, disappointment isn't so much with other people. I mean, we've got angry with them, but it's the disappointment in ourselves that we've let ourselves down and we've come in and we really haven't been able to gain control of ourselves the way that we think we should. Some of the other psychological patterns that stem from worry are the fear of unknown, fear of not being good enough, fear of expressing our emotions because we have that fear of conflict. Sometimes it's the fear of taking charge of our life. In that case, we can create codependent relationships. And in that particular situation, that codependency is kind of like glue close. From the standpoint that we need that sugar for energy. We need those codependent relationships so we can feel good about ourselves. Also, worry can make us feel like we're smothered. The emotion is smothering us. Other people may be smothering us. We want to reach out for help, but we don't want to reach out for help. So there's that dog chasing its tail again. And then also, worry can put us in a situation where we appear to other people of being helpless or being hopeless. And in that particular case, there's a natural tendency for other people in their desire to help us. It may not feel like that, but in their desire to help us to be able to come in, and they take control. And that's one of the things that we really, in our humanness, is resistant of, is other people being in control. So now we worry about them being in control. And, oh my gosh, when I started this process, it was just kind of mind spinning. And all of those metaphors that I've talked about and all of the psychological implications are irritants. We get irritated with ourselves. We get irritated with others. So when you think of asthma and that constriction of the bronchial tubes itself, that certainly is one aspect that needs to be looked at and treated in asthma. But in my world as a medical intuitive, it's the irritant. Who are we irritated with, and how much is that irritation robbing us of our own life force, our own energy, or in the case of asthma, taking that breath away from us? I'm going to be talking more about asthma and some of the things that we can do, some of the roles of personality, but I would like to jump in right now, and let's go to Deborah in Utah. Hi, Deborah.
Hi.
Hi,
yes, Ann. I've called in before. I have another emergency.
Okie dokie. Well, let's jump in and do it.
Well, I'm at the hospital. I think my mom's doing better, but she needs for knee surgery for a knee replacement. The first night she stopped breathing. The second night they think she had a stroke. She's lost her speech. She's having a real hard time talking. They're still running tests. I really don't know why I'm calling, just because I feel...
You don't quite know where else to go, do you?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, sweetie, what would be a best value to you? Would it be best value for me to share with you what I pick up so you know what you're actually working with and what the outcome of what your mother is going to be working with? Would you?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, your mother did have a stroke. Breathing, there's been a pattern in your mom and the stress that she's had for the last couple of months. There's been a shortness of breath in her that she probably hasn't told a lot of people about, really. And it wasn't, I don't think she was trying to hide anything. I just don't think that she was really concerned about it. And, but when, she was, but she did have a stroke. And so the loss of, the ability to speak and the voice aspect of it, it feels like it is a left temporal frontal lobe stroke. I've got basically the temporal lobe. There'll be a difficulty in her to try to gain understanding.
The left temporal?
Yes. Yes. Is it the right side of her body that she's beginning to have the issues?
You know.
Do you know?
I don't even know.
Okay. Well, my sense is that the stroke itself happened in the left temporal lobe, and that's going to impact the right side of her body.
Oh,
and one of the things that would be worthwhile, and I'm sure the doctors will do it, is that they will start, and they probably have started immediately, treating her for the stroke outcome. And what you can do is this, if it's done really quickly, and, you know, it may sound strange for me to say this to you, but really, it is a wonderful thing that it happened when your mother was right there under the care of doctors, because that first 24 hours after a stroke is absolutely critical from the standpoint of jump-starting the brain again, minimizing the cell damage that has the effect, the outcome of the stroke itself. And what it can do is they can immediately start the brain finding detours in its way around the area that has been impacted. So when
okay,
I go
they do
in,
have a speech therapist working with her.
Good. So what I can feel is that, you know, while it always is such a shock to us, it probably in many ways was a blessing from what I had been picking up with the last couple of months and some of the things that I had been picking up with her, that it just happened at a time where she has the very best of care that she can in order to be able to get this process together. The speech part of the brain that is impacted is in the left temporal lobe. She can pick up pictures and get words. It's just trying to put those words together in a sense of a sentence or to be able to dialogue in the way that she needs to. So having that, then they will be able to start working with her immediately and being able to build those processes in the brain where they'll be able to work around it. Some of the things that I'm picking up in the body that I think would be very helpful for me to tell you so you can have some hope over this is that some of the things that I'm picking up in the extremities and the peripheral nerves, specifically in her hands and her arms, also in the lower leg aspect of it, feels like they've already started the repair process. So it feels that the outcome is going to be with the proper therapy and the proper work that she's doing with the speech therapist, that she will be able to recover in a way that she'll still continue to have a quality of life. And that will be very, very important, not only for her, but for you as well. So, you know, strange way to say it, but in many ways, honey, it really is a blessing that it happened when it did and how it did.
She was worried because she was afraid she got a cold and then she got a bladder infection before she came in for knee surgery, and she kept saying, I don't think I'm supposed to go get this surgery.
Yeah.
And then she got better all of a sudden from the bladder infection, and they said, it's a go. And I think there might be some a little bit of apprehension, like, oh, maybe I should have done it, you know?
Yeah. Well, the reality of it is, and when the time is appropriate, and if it rings truth, always important, whenever I share anything, I always encourage people, go in and sit with it, hon, and be sure that it has a sense of truth to you. And And what that does is it allows you the opportunity to be able to work with it and express it the way that you need to. In many ways, I do believe, because of what was going on in her body, the weakening of the immune system, that obviously is what created the cold and some of the other aspects of it, the shortness of breath that she was having and experiencing. Okay. There was a little bit of lightheadedness that she was experiencing, felt maybe like a little bit of dizziness every so often. Again, not anything big enough that she would like.
Well, I have to agree with you, because you know what? One time when she was working out at the sports academy, she couldn't remember how she got home. So I think this has happened before.
It has, sweetie. It has. Oh. And she's had some little minor TIAs, and that's always kind of a, you know, an indicator. But again, it isn't something that we always pay attention to, and it is, you know, we're not in denial. We just don't. But I really, if you can talk to your mom while, you know, the knee replacement was just kind of an excuse for her to be in the right place, sweetie, with time of everything. And, you know, it will take her some while to come to grips with this, because, you know, she may feel like she brought this on. I really don't believe that, honey. I think I feel like it was a real blessing in disguise, from the standpoint that they were able to start working with her as quickly as they needed to, instead of it happening and then trying to do the damage control that would be when the stroke. Your mom's stroke was not a massive stroke, meaning that there isn't a severity of brain damage, but it's enough that if it hadn't been caught as quickly as it needed to, then she might not be as mobile in her ability for movement and the use of her hands, so hand the way that she will be now.
Well, thank you. I thought everything was fine. I didn't come and visit her yesterday because I thought everything was fine. See, I just have no idea what's going on physically with my family.
Yeah.
Well, I tend to avoid it. I get busier. And
you know what? Please, my love, I'm going to just wrap you in my arms, and I'm going to shake your little head at the same time. We're all getting busier. We all have a lot of things that are going on now. I understand the process of, you know, coulda, shoulda, woulda type situation on it. But the reality of it, hon, is that strokes don't always give us the clear enough warning signs that not only we can deal with it, but that our loved ones can deal with it as well. Your mom was just what she needed to be, where she needed to be. I know, as strange as it sounds, but we're all busy right now. So work through that one, honey, and don't hold that one, and especially don't hold it in your shoulders you tend to do. It's part of the, I hate to say it, but I have to say it, it's part of the process of your mother doing her work. It's part of the process of you doing your work, part of the process of you evaluating your life, your mother's life, and then also all the other people in your family. And right now, frankly, when I touch you and your family, you're like a clenched fist. And the minute I touch it, I've got all these fingers come out. You've got a lot going on in your family.
Okay.
So, again, your mom is in a good place. She will be able to get some of the stuff back, because they're dealing with it very, very straightforwardly and very quickly.
Well, thank you so much, Carol.
You are welcome, sweetie. I'm going to hold you in my space all day today. You will come in and you will go out, and you will come in and you will go out, and I will hold that space of love and healing for both you and your mom.
Thank you so much.
You are welcome. Well, what I'd like to do is, I am going to take a commercial break, but before I do, I'd like to invite all of you to join me tomorrow night. That's March 18th at 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific time for my free Your Health teleclass. And this particular month, I'm going to be talking about chronic pain. Very interesting, the information that I have surfaced as I've been doing the research on chronic pain from the anatomy and physiology of the body, more so from the psychological implications. And then I'm going to be sharing how it looks in the energy field, how it maps in the chakras, and then again the role personality plays in the susceptibility to chronic pain. I also share some approaches to be able to work with it, therapies and remedies, both from a conventional, meaning allopathic, straightforward way that if you went to the doctor, this is the way that they're going to be looking at it. And then I have an entire laundry list of alternative remedies that are very, very effective. And in fact, in reality, the alternative remedies are much more effective than a lot of the medications that the doctors will be able to prescribe. Again, as all of you who are listeners of my show or know of my work know that I'm not anti-medicine, but I will tell you when it comes to chronic pain, because of the psychological aspects of it, sneak preview, the number one is stress, common denominator, and then also fear. I'm going to be talking about that, and the best way to deal with that is through the alternative standpoint. So if you're interested in joining me for this free teleclass, just go to my website, www.ritberger.com. You notice that I spell it because I pronounce it Ritberger. It's actually spelled Ritberger, so it's ritberger.com. Go to teleclass, sign up. Again, it's free. Join me tomorrow night, 5 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. That's March 18th, and we're going to be talking about chronic pain, and then I always hang on the phone for about another 20 to 30 minutes after the teleclass and answer questions. So I hope you'll join me, and if you suffer from it or if you have a friend that does, please give them a call and have them join me as well. We have a large bank of phone lines, so I hope you'll join me again 5 o'clock tomorrow night on chronic pain. Well, thanks very much. Okay, so Rebecca, I think we're ready, hon. Let's go ahead and jump into a commercial break. Stay tuned. I'm going to be right back, talk more about asthma, role of personality, and what we can do to get rid of that worry factor.
Would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Ritberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.ritberger.com. That's www.ritberger.com.
Did you know that you can rate this show on iTunes? The show you're listening to right now. It's true. You can leave your thoughts about the show, the topic, the guest. You can even leave a suggestion. Then, before you leave, rate the show. The hosts love hearing from you. So next time you download this show from iTunes, leave your thoughts and rate the show. For the host and for others.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Ritberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.ritberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
And thanks for joining me again. I'm actually talking about healing asthma on today's show. It is a suggestion from one of my listeners. In fact, if you have a suggestion for me, I encourage you to go to my website, www.ritberger.com, submit the suggestion, and I will look forward to being able to answer your questions and doing some research and finding some information and then connecting all of that with my medical intuitive skills. I'm also taking your calls, so if you have a question for me about your health or about asthma, what you can do is call me at 877-230-3260 or 425-644-5620. For any of the listeners that live in Southern California, I'm going to be down there March 26th through the 28th. I'm going to have an evening of readings on Friday the 26th, and then I'm going to be doing a two-day class on the light of the body. That's going to be really going in and looking in depth into the aura. What is it? What can it tell us? Chakras, what are they? What can they tell us? And then also, we're going to be learning our personality color. If you know your color, we're going to be revisiting it and connecting the dots between aura, chakras, personality, and illness. And the nice part about the aura is it not only tells us the biological aspect of the well-being or lack of it in the body, but also how that biographical history, all the things that we've done in our life that is impacting the energy body itself, maybe creating congestion, protrusions, blockages, or so forth, and then how that can ultimately manifest in the physical body. So again, I'm going to be in Southern California March 26th through the 28th. You can register online for both events. Again, that's www.richberger.com. I have a lot of listeners down in that area, so I hope you'll come up. It's a chance for us to get up close and personal. I always love both of the different events. So again, www.richberger.com. Up until recently, researchers have been really reluctant to really tie personality into asthma. But what we have found is that there's a predisposition. I talked about the psychological aspect of worry and the contribution, but our personality impacts the susceptibility to asthma as well. And the reason for that is some personalities, frankly, worry more than others. So if you're familiar with my work, you know that I teach personality by color. It's a lot easier to do it that way and accepting ourselves and other people if we do it via color versus the labeling of names. So the four colors that I use are red, orange, yellow, green. If you don't know your color, again, go to my website. And what you can do is click on the personality tab. Voila, it'll take you into a personality assessment. You just answer a series of brief little statements, and voila, you become a personality color. When it comes to asthma, there are really two personalities that have a higher predisposition for developing asthma than any of the others, and that color is orange and green. Orange more so from the standpoint that they are really the true worriers of the personality world. In fact, when I work with oranges, I'll say to them, "Are you worried?" And they'll say, "Well, absolutely, I'm always worried." And I'll say to them, "What are you worried about?" And they'll think for a moment, and they go, "I really don't have a clue. I just seem to worry about anything and everything." So for oranges, it's very important for you to be able to, first of all, recognize your worrying. Number two, how long have you been worrying? And then what's triggering the worry itself? And then you'll be able to go in and start the process of stopping the worry syndrome, as I call it. Greens tend to worry. They tend to worry in a different way. They worry about people liking them or not. Are they doing the right thing? They worry about conflict. They worry about feeling inadequate. So each personality has some worry issues. Both personalities have strong feelings of guilt. They struggle with self-worth and self-esteem. Both personalities, because neither of them are open to conflict. Now, I need to say that, nor are reds or yellows. However, yet reds and yellows will get into a conflict situation if it is something that they believe will resolve the issue, where greens and oranges will not. They will tend to stuff those emotions instead of the conflict itself. So in that particular case, that's part of the susceptibility for the orange and green. Also, the other reason is that oranges and greens are more emotionally volatile, meaning they are more expressive of their emotions. While they don't want to create conflict, they aren't expressive necessarily outside of themselves, but boy, the self-talk they do around the emotions and how they feel about things internally can basically create that inner irritant that I was talking about in the first segment that can, in my world as a medical intuitive, irritant has a lot to do with the inflammation factor. So when we really look at the susceptibility of developing asthma, it would be the orange, the green, then the red, and then the least susceptible would be the yellow. And it isn't that the yellow worries, it's just that their neurology allows them to process problems in a much different way, both mentally and then also chemically. So what can you do to stop worrying? Well, the best thing you can do is what I call mono problem solving. What that means is that tackle only one problem at a time before moving to the next. That means taking a deep breath and evaluating what problem is has the most charge to it and requires the most attention. Work on managing your thoughts. If they're thoughts that disempower you, reframe them into thoughts that do empower you. See things as they really are and be present in the moment. That's the gift of being present in the moment, because you see things for what they really are instead of seeing them through all of the past thoughts and all of those highly charged negative emotions associated with events. Use visualization and deep breathing And both of those will get you out of that worry syndrome. Cultivate a fighting spirit and let it, instead of letting someone else direct your lives, very, very important. Both oranges and greens tend to look to other people to be able to get the help and to use the sounding boards, but a lot of times it sends the message to other people that there is, in fact, a weakness or an insecurity or a sense of helplessness, which isn't the case. But what it does is it can get personalities, and especially the reds and the yellows, want to jump right in and help you. And they do want to help you, but they want to do it for you, or they want to tell you what to do. So anyway, so you have to go in and just really look at what can you control and what you can't. And finally, if your nature is to be a worrier, stop feeling bad about it. If you worry, you worry. If you worry a lot, then stop worrying a lot. But it's like going in for the oranges. You're natural worriers. That's the gift that you are to others, is that I could have a problem as a yellow and I could share it with an orange. I don't need to think about it anymore from an emotional standpoint. The orange will think about it, worry it, emotionally connect with it, and then they'll come to me and they'll share what they've come up with. So it's a great gift. So please stop feeling bad about yourself because you just worry. So those are some of the things you can do. Breathing, visualization, very, very powerful. It creates a relaxed response. In the case of asthma, that relaxation actually causes the bronchial tubes to then dilate. It can quell that message going to the immune system from the standpoint that you have an inner irritant or an outer irritant that is taking place, and then the healing of asthma starts to take place. So again, lots of great information. Very happy that I got this suggestion. Was one that I thoroughly enjoyed doing the research and then sharing the information. So let's go in and let's do Jackie from Kansas City. Hi, Jackie.
Carol.
Hi, sweetie. How can I help you?
Thanks for all the information you're sharing today. I do appreciate that. I have a question for you. I've had a lot of pain under my ribs for about the last year, and the doctors can't figure out what's going on.
Okay. So they've run tests and everything. I can feel that, correct?
Yeah, gallbladder, they've drifted to thyroid, they've just about every test, a CT scan. I recently had another ultrasound of the gallbladder, and there's no stones, there's nothing.
Yeah, there isn't. So let me go in. That's my favorite term. Let me go in and touch your energy. So, sweetie, what it is that it actually, this is going to sound really strange, what you're experiencing is something that's called referred pain, and that referred pain is in the brachial plexus in the spine area, which is just a little below where your neck and where your shoulders come together. It would be in the brachial plexus, is in cervical vertebrae 5, 6, and 7. And in that area, I have an old injury. There's a natural turn in your spine itself. And so what we're getting is that in that area, the brachial plexus, we have peripheral nerves that go in, animate not only the arms, the hand, the movement, also the diaphragm itself and up under that area. I can pick up an energy congestion in the thoracic part of the spine, just exactly where the shoulder blades kind of come together. One of the things I might suggest is, are you open to acupuncture?
Yes, I've done it in the past.
Okay, so what we'd like to do is we'd like to look at two things, craniosacral acupuncture. I went in while I've been talking to you. I've been looking at the gallbladder to be sure that they didn't miss anything. They did not. It all looks really good. One of the things is your stomach does tend to get irritated. My sense is that you don't have enough hydrochloric acid, pepsin, betaine that's needed in order to neutralize your stomach. I've tied it to food. I've tied it to allergy. I tied it to fat that would be with gallbladder. Can't find anything there. My sense is that we're having a referred pain situation from what's happening in the spine itself. To also share with you, it isn't uncommon for people who actually do have gallbladder issues, which you do not, have gallbladder issues to experience shoulder and neck pain. And again, the reason for that situation where the two kind of mirror each other from the standpoint of creating the pain itself is that it's because of the fact that it comes to that brachial plexus, and that's that place where all those peripheral nerves that animate really from the breastbone, the sternum, right at the base of the ribs, up to the top of the body. We get a lot of fine peripheral nerves in that area, as we do in the thoracic plexus, which is what I talked about in the center of the spine. As I've been talking also, you're very open. I thank you for that, sweetie. When I go in and touch that part of you, I've been looking at your lungs to be sure that we don't have any kind of lung issues. I look for chronic bronchitis. I could not pick that up. You do tend to have some allergens that are triggered by the seasons that can create a little bit of rattling in your chest once in a while, but there isn't anything there. I'm not seeing any spots in the lungs that would be a problem to indicate that we have anything. Again, I looked at gallbladder. I went in and I looked at liver. I couldn't find anything there. So my sense is what we're having is a referred pain situation. Wise of you to go get things checked out, because as I feel your personality, you need information. But if you could go in and just try putting some ice pack. What you want is do some ice on that neck part. Of your, where the neck and the shoulders come together a little bit below it. You might also want to get one of those neck pieces that you can put in the microwave to heat that's full of flaxseed or a lot of times. All of those things will help. And when they relax the muscle, and then the eye sends a message from the brain that literally is like 1,000 milligrams. It's a neurotransmitter and kind of an opiate. It's called from the natural healing ability pain management. What it'll do is it's like 1,000, 1,200 milligrams of ibuprofen. That will help you. And then,
wow.
Yeah, I know. Sorry. You can always go back and listen in the archives. I wanted to get in a lot of
it. I think I've caught a lot of it. No, I just, it makes total sense.
Yeah, and it
really
just,
does.
You know,
it
and again,
right.
The good news is, honey, they didn't find anything.
Yeah.
And so it's just go in and look at it differently and then work with that and see if you can find some of the situations that you can start linking shoulder tension, kind of pulling up your shoulders, twisting your back a little bit where you feel like you're kind of not walking straight, where you're looking a little bit into the right side and everything. Look at that. That can help you a lot. But, again, I can't find anything that has any ramifications of a problem.
Thank you so much.
You are most welcome. Thanks for calling me. All right,
Thank you. Let's jump in.
Let's take Sue from, where is that, Sue? I'm just kind of lost my, I have to get back into my left brain. How are you, hon?
Hi, nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you. So where are you from, Sue?
I'm from Wisconsin.
Thank you. I thought that was it. Good, good. How can I help you, hon?
Well, I've been having neck, shoulder, and back problems. It started back in August. You know, I had them periodically before. I always went to the chiropractor, but they got severe due to, I think, some yard work that I was doing. But anyway, so I went to the chiropractor, and he just wasn't able to help me. So I wound up getting 10 treatments of cranial sacral therapy.
Okay.
Between October and the end of the year.
Okay.
And I did see a significant improvement, but then once the treatments were over, it started to get worse again. Mm-hmm. So I found a new chiropractor. They did a nerve scan, and they set up a series of 24 treatments. I have two of those left.
Okay.
And now she's telling me she wants to do another series of 24, as well as supplementing the chiropractic treatment with cranial sacral therapy again, because she knows I did well on that initially. And I'm just wondering, can you give me some direction as to which of those treatments might be more beneficial to me? I mean, financially, I can only choose so much.
Yeah. Oh, no. Well, and you know what? Truthfully, Sue, not only financially, but, honey, your body can only take so much. It's got to have some recovery time.
Okay, yeah.
In the situation as well, because, you know, what we have is we have a chronic back problem that's been there for a long time. It's in the lumbar part of the spine. That's the fear of unknown. That's kind of your little worry center that you have within your spine itself. And while the treatments themselves, and for all listeners, they do help, but they also can aggravate the area, which can continue to create the message that we have a problem, and then the immune system comes in and it continues that anti-inflammatory response, which then causes it to not go away. It becomes a chronic pain. So in this particular case, out of all the things you talked about, is that I would consider going back to cranial sacral. And the reason for that is that while that will help give you the relief for your mind to be able to do what it needs to and the brain to stop fixating on it, what it does is it releases the tension in the cerebrospinal fluid and releases the tension in the head itself so it drops into where it needs to, meaning that the spine will naturally start aligning itself because of the muscles. So that's the thing that I would encourage. But, you know, frankly, I just have to say to you, and again, please take it with a grain of salt, is that I really believe that what we need to do with you is we need to go in and we need to stop this inflammation of the nerves themselves. We've got to cool the nerve. There's things like turmeric or turmeric, curcumin as it's also called. There's boswellia that we can use. There's some natural anti-inflammatories that you could use, honey, that would help quell the inflammation. And I think in that case, what we'd get is you'd get a lot of the reprieve from the inflammation of the nerves, which triggering the pain, which triggering the muscles to hold you as tight as can be, because your muscles don't know whether if you move wrong it's going to hurt that spinal cord or not. So they're only doing their job, but the muscles are just hypervigilant. I mean, the nerves are hypervigilant.
Mm-hmm.
So you might want to go on and do some research on some things that actually can quell the inflammation from the standpoint so the message can be stopped. I don't know if you have the time to join me tomorrow night on my teleclass, but I'm going to be talking about a lot of the things that can work. And then also, if for any reason you can't, next Monday or Tuesday, there'll be a printable PDF, and it'll have the whole laundry list of the things that you can do. But before I would do anything, I would really go in and just say, okay, what can I do to cool down my nerves? And then my sense is craniosacral really cools down the nerve, which gave you the reprieve. But we also need to help reprogram your muscles so they don't get into that worry process. It's, again, like a dog chasing its tail, honey. It's been chronic so long that any time you get emotionally stressed, whether you're doing the right thing with all the therapy and all the rest of it, all it does is aggravates the problem. So
yeah.
What do you have going on in your life right now that you've got this real charge around the fear of unknown, hon? Is your job or is something in jeopardy or something that's in jeopardy to you?
Well, my husband passed away, so it's been a rough time the last few years.
Okay. Okay, yep, thanks.
I think that's a lot of the problem.
It is, honey. And you know what? Rightfully so. I mean, there is that fear of unknown. What's next? What are you going to do next? There's that worry part, whether it comes from, you know, the worrying about the money or, you know, what are you going to do with the rest of your life? And my sense is that that's creating a lot of this inflammatory response I'm getting in your body. It's just a natural stress reaction. I think the best thing I can say, Sue, is look at things you can do on a daily basis, hon, that can help cool down some of this hurt that you have inside. Think of the hurt or the pain or the nerves as being irritated and inflamed. What can you do to cool that down? Maybe it's doing something that you really love. Maybe it's listening to music. Maybe it's getting outdoors. You know, you ought to start seeing green grass pretty soon. I'm hoping all of you back there, it's been a kind of a long winter. But
yeah.
Some of the things that you can do with that, maybe go out and have lunch on a weekly basis, something that just kind of gives you that breath of fresh air and that can help cool you down and start the process of getting you back into being engaged in life, and be kind to yourself in the fact of everything you've been through. Your plate's been really full. It still is, Boo. So see if that can help you as well. But just think of everything, cool things to me to cool down this part of the inflammation, the irritation is, what are the things you really enjoy doing? That's the cool. What are the things that you feel passionate about? That's the cool. Those are the things for you to look at, sweetie. And then I would look at craniosacral and maybe look at some dietary things, maybe work with a naturopath that could help you actually with some of the inflammation in the body itself.
Oh, and who would be able to do that for me?
Would be a naturopath.
Okay.
Boy, you've got, you know, Minnesota's got a fabulous school of naturopaths that they teach wonderful. I just lost my word again. My goodness, it's kind of a prevalent thing today. But you can look, go in, and maybe you have a health food store or you have an integrative medicine doctor, even the cranial sacral therapist that you worked with or the chiropractor may know of somebody. That, my sense is, that would help you more than anything else.
And you think it's better to go, like, to relieve the inflammation rather than over-the-counter to go with, like, an herbal or something like that, then?
Well, the thing is it's a combination. You certainly can do over-the-counter from an herbal standpoint. If you have a good health food store, go in and talk to them. They're usually very, very knowledgeable. They have wonderful books of reference. You should be able to go in, and they would be able to guide you to things that have that are natural anti-inflammatories. Boswellia is one of them.
Okay.
And they would be able to help you.
I think, you know, my pain is pretty tough because I had been taking a formulation that has natural stuff in it. Mm-hmm. And it my sister takes it too, and it works wonderfully for her. I can double the dosage, triple it, and it does nothing for me.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's just like, I guess you just have to find the right thing that'll...
Exactly. And you know, keep on trying with it and everything. But my sense is if we could quell that inflammation,
Yeah. Then
we wouldn't have those irritated nerves that are sending the message to the brain, we have a real problem.
Mm-hmm.
This is a problem that you've had for a long, long time in your spine. And it's a problem that your muscles remember what the problem is, and they're afraid that it's going to repeat itself. So that's one of the reasons why I think things don't hold as long as you would desire them to hold. And the other thing is that, sweetie, you're under a much different stress and pressure than your sister is.
Yeah, true.
And so, again, you know, we have to kind of look at the whole aspect of the dynamics of everything.
Okay.
So, but the most important thing is you don't give up trying, and I do love that about you, Sue. Well, thank you, honey, for calling me. I so appreciate it. Well, I want to thank everyone today for joining me. It's always a pleasure to spend time with you. I love sharing the medical intuitive skills and also all this research that you're asking me to do. It's teaching me a lot about connecting the dots. So I hope that you'll join me next Wednesday at 10 o'clock a.m. on Contact Talk Radio. Also, we're working on that television show. I'm going to be on VibranceTV.com this afternoon, Wednesday afternoon, at 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So you're going to get the double dose of Carol. So again, have a great week. I'll see you next week on the radio.
You've been listening to The Carol Reiberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reiberger.com. That's www.reiberger.com. See you soon.